Welcome to the Closing Mark Report. It's April the 15th, 2008. Have you turned your taxes in yet? I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. And Harry Cooney from GrowMark will join us in just about 20 minutes to take up the energy markets. In agricultural news, the Farm Bill conferees are edging closer to an agreement, and Cargill is reporting an 86% increase in quarterly earnings. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories shortly. USDA released its first weekly crop weather report for the growing season yesterday. Brad Schwab at USDA NASS in Springfield left us a nice little note as to where we stand today and how that relates historically to the planting season. Meteorologist Don Day will join us for a look at the weather after the bottom of the hour. And along the way, U of I Farm Management Specialist Gary Schnitke will take us through the whys and hows of crop insurance and acreage switches. So stay with us, won't you, for this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL, a broadcasting service of the College of Media at the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago, on this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby May wheat futures at $8.95 and three quarters, down a quarter of a cent. July futures, 9.10 and a half, unchanged. And July of 09 at $9.20, up a half for the day. May corn futures, 6.06, up 14 and a quarter. July at 6.19 and a half, up 14 and three quarters. And September, 6.26 and a half, 14 and a quarter higher. December corn futures, new crop at $6.25 and a quarter, a 12-cent gain for the day. December corn futures for next year at 577 and three quarters. The DEIS 09 gained 6 and three quarter cents. May soybean futures, $13.80, up 7 and a half. July at 13.97, up 7 and three quarters. And the August at 13.85, up 7 and three quarters. November soybeans, $13 even, 13 cents higher. May bean meal futures at 348.80, settled $1.40 lower. July at 353.60, down 70 cents. And the May bean oil settled at 62.52, up 102. July futures at 63.27, a dollar two higher there as well. April live cattle, 89.47 and a half, up 32 and a half cents. June futures at 91.57 and a half, a hundredweight, $1.47 and a half higher, and the April feeders $100.15 up 60. The May lean hogs at 71.65, up $2.02 and a half. This is the Closing Market Report. Taking a look at the outside markets for the day, here's where the May crude oil is currently trading, $113.90, up $2.14 a barrel. The June futures at $112.90, $1.73 higher. The CRB index at 414.55, that's up 4.63, and the dollar is now at 72.03, that's 0.27 higher for the day. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, 12,320, is just about 17 points higher, and the gold futures are trading the nearby April contract at $928.70 an ounce, up $3.30. The May up $3.30 as well at $929.70 an ounce. Here's what the forecast looks like for the two-state region from our own Mike Sola. He says tonight, skies will be clear and not as cool across the two-state. Lows will range from 35 in the far eastern part of Indiana to 46 in the western part of Illinois. And tomorrow, sunny skies. Highs will range from 65 near Lake Michigan to 73 in the southwestern part of Illinois. Warmer conditions should continue to spread from west to east across the region during the rest of the work week. An approaching storm system, though, will begin to bring rain from the Mississippi Valley on Thursday and Friday to the Ohio River Valley on Friday and Saturday. The wettest areas will be from the western part of Illinois to the southwestern parts of Wisconsin, with some locations getting 2 inches of rain or more. The latest global forecast model indicates more rain in the region each day, Sunday through Thursday, and the relative humidity levels will, on Wednesday, climb just slightly. The lowest levels tomorrow will range from 35% in the east to near 50% in the northwestern parts of Illinois. We'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast just after the bottom of the hour. Don Day will join us. You're listening to the Closing Market Report.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. 866-837-9027.
A beautiful Tuesday afternoon here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. We're joined by Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities on the phone now from New Market, Indiana. Sky sunny there too, Wayne?
Beautiful afternoon. We start out rather crispy this morning. A layer of frost over here, but the day has sure got a lot nicer as we went along.
Hey, you know, as I was reading the settlement prices at $150 on some of these radio stations, I came across what I thought was a pretty strange oddity, that there were an awful lot of even money highs, lows, and settlements in the soybean. Any good explanation for that, or did it just happen?
Well, there's two things probably, Todd. Number one, probably a little bit coincidental, but probably the fact that as we've got more volatility and wider, we used to trade in years ago in eighths of a cent, then it went to quarters, and then nobody in the pit really had to offer about a half a cent different to get anything done. And, you know, you have to wonder if they aren't just going in with a little more volatility and the wider swings, going in full cents on some of their trades, especially going into the close in a lot of cases where they're evening up and doing some stuff. But it is highly unusual to go down the list as far as you did and just see all even numbers there without, you know, the half or whatever along the way. So very unusual, but, you know, quite a wide swinging day today.
Interesting take on the marketplace. Tell me about that wide swing. Why did it happen?
Well, you know, I think we have to start with the crude oil. All-time highs in the crude oil up over $2. Our energy costs, you know, the producer price index and the inflation factor are going up more, about three times what they expected it to, because of food costs and energy costs together. And this just really sort of putting the tightening bell on things. We saw a lot of countries that were talking about they're going to put a stop to their exports until they get into their crop year or until they can get certain reserves built up for food because of food inflation in some of their small countries, too. So, you know, Indonesia, Russia, or Uzbekistan talking about not exporting more wheat until a little bit, Argentina extending their wheat export closure and things like that. And I think all of these make us just a little bit nervous about food and food costs, Todd.
You think that's more likely to push corn prices higher or soybean prices higher or just both of them?
Well, we started out, of course, this morning we talked more about the limiting factor of field work not being done because of these fronts moving across. You know, you just told us about the forecast for the weekend of rain again, just about when we're going to be able to get in the field and do something.
Mm-hmm.
Along comes another rain shower. And, you know, in the old days, we wouldn't have got so concerned right now, but I believe the University of Illinois put out their optimum planting date for corn is right now. And so, you know, every day passed here, while we're losing a little bit of potential, possibly, on our corn crop. And the way the balance sheet reads, we don't want to be losing anything on that potential, because with the ethanol mandate, why that, along with food, you know, we just would like to keep our maximum production of corn out there as all possible.
Does it scare you at all to push corn prices into the $6.50 and even $7 range?
I think we would like to see the inflation factor slow down, maybe the dollar gain some strength and stabilize some of these prices, Todd, because up at these levels, at the higher levels, everything becomes just a little riskier for everybody. And I think that, you know, we saw some real problems as we continue to go higher. The last time we went up here with grain companies and hedge accounts and small elevators, and, you know, whenever you push anybody against the wall, businesses that other people do business with and remain there for their livelihood, like farmers dealing with their local elevators, why, it's not a good thing. So yeah. It is scary.
It's somebody asked me in the hallways here at the radio station why it was that farmers and agriculture seemed to be on edge when there was so much to be gained in the commodity markets, and I had a discussion with them about the infrastructure and how it all works and the cash flow problems that's been that these kinds of wide swings create in the marketplace. And it's, you know, I guess two, maybe three times the amount of money that the small and large elevators are having to cash flow as they hedge off their inventories.
Yeah, and a lot of them put aside or had a credit line, which would have been three times adequate in most normal years. And this year, they're running out. And a lot of the local areas, the banks are loaned up to their limits and not being able to carry on. Even if they do want to carry on the activity that they have over the years and had a good relationship and the elevator has been good. So it's a sad thing if we push this too high. It would be better if we maybe slow down a little bit and stay at good high prices, but not exorbitant prices.
All right. Thanks much, Wayne.
Thank you, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on Tuesday afternoons.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers in East Central Illinois. Lernard Seed Service provides customer services and agronomic information to help customers maximize profits. Lernard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
Dave Dickey is here now. He'll help us take a complete look at what's been happening in the world of agricultural news. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois, the Land Grant at the U of I.
In agricultural news, Monday, the chairs of the House and Senate Agriculture Committees dropped the Farm Bill into the laps of the Senate Finance Committee and the House Ways and Means Committee. Completion of the bill appears to depend on reaching an agreement on how to fund $597 billion above baseline. House Ag Committee Chairman Colin Peterson and Senate Ag Chair Tom Harkin say they have settled all issues in the new farm bill, except, Peterson says, those considered so large that they require specific votes from conferees, including a $2.5 billion tax package in the original Senate bill and the $4 billion permanent disaster aid program.
I believe that we can work this out and that we need to work this out, and I believe we need to do this by Wednesday.
Meanwhile, House Ways and Means Chair Charles Rangel says as long as senators insist on a farm bill with tax hikes, the bill will die. And Peterson has a warning for Harkin, saying, quote, if we don't have these offsets resolved, you're going to have a very difficult time to get the members to make the decisions. Both Harkin and Peterson say if the finance committees fail to agree on funding sources by Wednesday, they will not seek another short-term extension of the 2002 Farm Bill that expires on Friday. South Korea and the U.S. will meet again on Wednesday in an attempt to narrow differences on beef trade. Yesterday, South Korea proposed importing beef containing bones from cattle less than 30 months old. But the U.S. is pressing for no restrictions on age or bone material. Argentina says it will not ship wheat out of the country till May 5th due to domestic supply problems. Previously, the government said it would resume wheat exports on April 21st. And Cargill is reporting an 86% increase in quarterly earnings with a net profit of $1.03 billion, driven by performance of its food processing and trading arm. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming at WILL, Public Radio for the Farming World. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report in Commodity Week, reminding you to visit our website, the address, willag.org. Yesterday, USDA released its first crop progress report for the growing season. It showed 2% of the corn crop had been planted across the nation. Of note, the top five corn-producing states all tallied a zero. To be fair, Minnesota and Nebraska on the five-year rolling average post a 0% and 1% respectively. The biggest disappointment? Illinois. The five-year average by this date in that state from 2003 to 2007 is 9% of the corn planted, and Illinois posted a big goose egg this year. Brad Schwab at the National Ag Statistics Office in Springfield details just what that means.
This is Brad Schwab, Chief Crop Statistician with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Illinois Field Office, reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending April 13th. Rain and cooler temperatures were prevalent across the state of Illinois this past week. Wet fields continue to prevent producers from planting, and flooding has been reported in some areas. Respondents are hopeful that weather conditions will cooperate this coming week, bringing sunshine and warmer temperatures. And it should be no surprise that statewide, there was less than one day suitable for field work. Topsoil moisture ratings continued to get wetter and were rated 1% very short, 1% short, 26% adequate, and 72% surplus. The wettest conditions were in the two southern crop reporting districts, again this week, coming in at 92 and 100% in the surplus category. Temperatures averaged 2.2 degrees below normal for the week, while precipitation was just over 1 inch above normal. Taking a look at the corn planting progress, or lack thereof, we are still at less than 1%. There were some isolated reports of a few acres being planted, but probably just enough to get the planters set. Comparing this year's corn planting progress to previous years, last year we were also at less than 1%, while in 2006 we had 8% of the corn in the ground, and in the drought year of 2005 we already had an amazing 32% planted. Oat seeding continued on a limited basis last week at 13% complete, compared to 17% last year and the five-year average of 60%. The condition of the soft red winter wheat crop showed slight improvement and came in at 1% very poor, 6% poor, 27% fair, 60% good, and 6% excellent. Pastures and alfalfa fields were rated in mostly good condition. This has been Brad Schwab with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Well, up next, the rains keep falling throughout the Midwest, but once they finally stop, those planters will roll, and they'll put corn in the ground. I'll have more on why they just might keep rolling and keep putting more corn acres into the ground, and how the crop insurance decisions farmers made back in March won't matter much. The corn-to-soybean price ratio at the Chicago Board of Trade is constantly adjusting. It has been and quite likely will continue to favor corn in the coming months, and that may cause some farmers in the United States to put more acres of that crop in the ground. University of Illinois Farm Management Specialist Gary Schnitke says the crop insurance decisions made back in March won't be a hindrance to the planting decision.
For crop insurance purposes, right now switching to corn and soybeans doesn't matter because in March 15 was the deadline. Farmers signed up to take a corn policy and soybean policy, but they didn't specify the acres.
So as long as the farmer signed up for both a corn and a soybean crop insurance policy, they are still covered and free to make whatever acreage decision seems best at the time of planting.
If they've signed up for a corn policy and they switch to more corn, that those corn acres will be covered by that policy, and vice versa if they switch from corn to soybeans. So no one's really said anything about decisions when they signed up for crop insurance. The only people that, and this would be a really small proportion of people, let's say a farmer signed up for both a corn and soybean policies, they would have paid the administrative cost for those two policies, which is $50 or $100 an acre, and I can't remember which. And now they plant all corn, they would be out the $100, but nothing else.
There are no RMA penalties associated with acreage switches other than the potential loss of the administrative cost.
If you decide to switch acres, input cost, and probably some tillage would be associated with that if a person was expecting to go into corn or last year's corn ground and plant no-till soybeans, the ground may not be ready for corn. So there's a couple other factors in that. But it does suggest that if you have if farmers have a field that could go one way or the other, that they probably should go to corn, given prices at this current time point.
At the time of this recording, the new crop corn to soybean ratio was about 1.9 to 1. It is usually about 2.5 to 2.7 bushels of corn to one bushel of soybean. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
The closing market report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
On a Tuesday afternoon, it's time to take our weekly look at the energy markets. Harry Cooney of GrowMark in Bloomington, Illinois, joins us this afternoon to talk about ethanol and oil and all types of energy markets, including cost of diesel fuel. Thanks for being along with us today, Harry.
Thank you, Todd. It's quite an exciting day here in the energy complex. We made some new all-time highs again today.
Tell me why.
Well, we had a couple of reasons here. We broke out of some chart patterns on the upside, and so we had some additional fund buying come into it. We had a front page Wall Street Journal article today talking about Russian oil production declining now for the first time in a decade, during the first 3 months of this year at least, and that was helpful for the upside in the market. And so we've had several things happen here that just kind of culminated today in a $2 rally in crude oil that took us just a penny shy of $114 a barrel.
$114, a new all-time high. Will we break through that in
It seems like given the fact that crude oil went above 112 here this week, now it looks like the upside is probably around 120 to 125 on this run eventually. Now that's not just going to go in a straight line most likely, but we continue to have this backdrop of peaking out of world oil production, and this here Russian report in the Wall Street Journal helps show some of that today. But at the same time, world crude oil demand continues to increase. So eventually the market has to get that sorted out, and at what price is what we're all trying to figure out.
What would you suggest to farmers trying to book diesel for the springtime?
We have a lot of diesel already on the books, but the trend continues higher. And so having diesel fuel in inventories, and if they still want to do some contracting, that's okay too. We're incremental contractors, meaning that we don't do all or none. We do certain percentages, and we're up at about 30 or 40% contracted now. We still like doing that. We're also looking at fall contracting. We have about 30% of our fall contracted. We added on to some propane recommendations today also. We're up at anywhere from 30 to 50% of our propane contracted out through the rest of the year now.
And one final question. I made note as the price of crude oil climbed sharply higher last summer that there was a stop in the price of gasoline at the pump at about $3.25. It's around $3.40 at the moment. I assume that that was where demand started to slack off and that the oil companies just decided not to go much above $3.25. They're going to go much higher than $3.40, $3.50 this time around?
I would think they would have to. I would definitely think they would have to. We're starting to kind of snuff off a little bit of demand here, but when you look at the numbers around the world, 1.3 billion people in China and their demand continuing to increase, it seems like eventually we're going to have to take gasoline to even higher numbers here also as that crude marches its way up to around the 120 or a little above.
Harry, thanks much for joining us today.
Thank you, Todd.
Harry Cooney is with GrowMark. Somebody from his office joins us usually once a month. It's normally Harry to take a look at the energy markets. And we do the energy markets each and every Tuesday right here on the Closing Market Report from the University of Illinois. Back in 2 minutes.
It's National Glazed Ham Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1819, Oliver Evans died, an American millwright. Evans invented the first automatic corn mill, and he pioneered the high-pressure steam engine. Evans' corn mill used bucket elevators to raise the grain and a hopper to cool and dry the meal. In 1854, New York became the first state to fund a study of insects harmful to plants. In 1874, George Harrison Schull was born, an American botanist. He is frequently called the father of hybrid corn. As a result of his research, corn yields per acre increased between 25 and 50%. He developed a method of corn breeding that made possible the production of seed capable of thriving under various soil and climatic conditions. In 1878, Harley Proctor created Ivory Soap, and in 1955, the first franchised McDonald's was opened in Des Plaines, Illinois, by Ray Kroc, who purchased the hamburger restaurant owned by the McDonald brothers. On opening day, a two-patty hamburger was 15 cents, and French fries sold for a dime. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Listening to the Closing Market Report, I'm Todd Gleason. Joining us now for a look at the agricultural weather is Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon to you, Don.
Good afternoon.
Finally, some beautiful weather here in the Midwest. More to come?
Nope.
Oh,
we've
thanks.
We've got a little bit of a storm system. It's not a big one, not as big as what we've seen lately, but rain chances are going to be increasing across all of the Midwest, all of the Corn Belt, as we get ourselves into the end of the week here. It's a system that will produce showers and thunderstorms across portions of Kansas, Nebraska, then into sections of Iowa, Minnesota, then the heaviest northern Missouri, central and northern areas of Illinois. That'll probably be followed by one or two more systems next week. So while these next series of storms do not look to be as intense nor as large as the last ones, chances of precipitation look quite high over the next 10 days.
And if you look further out than that, can you see any time period where farmers will really begin to be able to move in their fields?
Not yet, I'm afraid to say. Now, long range, we're talking about being able to really stick our necks out here 15 to 16 days or so into early May. There is a hint of some higher pressure, a little bit more of a stable weather pattern building in. But that's a maybe right now, and we'll have to watch that. But it may not be till the last few days of this month or the first week of May before we have a prolonged spell of drier weather, folks.
Maybe you should tell us about the Delta region. Can they move there anytime soon?
Well, they will, but chances of moisture in the Delta even look fairly good, although I think they're going to avoid the heavier moisture. So while there is rain in the forecast, I think most of the Delta should be able to get a little bit of progress made.
If you look back, what do you see in years like this one? Anything that's even close, analogous to this type of year that you can recall?
Well, the closest we could come, and there's really no one year that's the same as another year, but we'd have to probably go back to 98. 1998, a pattern unfolded similar during the winter season and spring season, and it's something that we'll look at as we get into the summer is what happened in summer in the summer season of 98-99. But that it's really 10 years, a good solid 10 years since we've seen a pattern like this.
And it's been a long time since farmers have not been in the field in the Midwest, really in the field in the Midwest, in the month of April. I guess 10 years would probably be just about right, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would be. And it's also a pattern where we haven't had much help from really warm days to get evaporation rates high to clear out the mud. Temperatures, while they've been spring-like at times, have never really gotten stable or steady and warmer than normal for more than a day or two. And so the coolness is really added to the problem as well. But it's a little bit of a vicious cycle. When you get wet ground, that evaporation of moisture back in the air cools things off a little bit, so it's a little bit harder to warm up.
Anything else around the globe we ought to be keeping our eye on?
Well, if we go over to take a look at Europe, they're looking at also a fairly active weather pattern as well. In fact, all of Western, Central, and Eastern Europe forecasting a rather active weather pattern with either at or above normal precipitation, even into portions of Southern Europe, which tend to get a little bit drier this time of year. So over there, the Northern Hemisphere, even into China, looking at an active weather pattern as well. So I guess misery loves company.
All right, Don, thanks much.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report each and every Tuesday afternoon. Be sure to visit our website. The address is WILLAG.org. I'm Todd Gleason.